From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's still our hearts before the throne of grace in prayer. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee for Calvary. And we thank Thee for all that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us upon the cross. We think about the nails in His hands. We think about the crown of thorns that He bore. We consider all the blood that was shed to atone for our souls. And we thank Thee for what the Scriptures remind us of in Romans 5 and the verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all, Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee for the cross and the blood of the Lord Jesus. We rejoice that there is still power in the blood today. We rejoice in the fact that the Lord is still in the soul-saving business. And we thank Thee for each one in this congregation that can say that I have been saved. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. My sins are gone. But, O God, we pray for any that may be listening to this service today and they don't yet know what it is to be saved. O God, show them how vile their sin is in Thy sight. Show them how wonderful the love of God and the cross actually is. And we ask that many a soul may hear Thy word and be comforted thereby or be challenged thereby, and that many a soul will be saved after hearing Thy word preached at this time. But bless us now, undertake for our need. We ask these things in the altogether lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're turning in the word of God together, please, to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to read the first 7 verses together, beginning at the verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. We trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his holy and precious word to each of our hearts. We're going to sing our next hymn now, a beautiful hymn, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord.
Who likes to receive a love letter? I'm not sure that anybody here would be saying no to that. In Isaiah chapter 43, we have a love letter from God to a disobedient and a straying people. If you want to find the measure of the rebellion of the people, then you would go back into the previous chapter, Isaiah 42. You can see how they strayed, moved away from God, committed sin after sin, and yet amazingly, the Lord commences chapter 43 with promises of brilliant blessing. How gracious God is to his people. And what this translates into is this. We have in Isaiah 43, the opening verses, heavenly helps for earthly hurts. Notice first of all out of the verses, the people who are addressed. The people who were addressed. And if you want to find out who they are, then the final three words in Isaiah 43 in the verse 1 tells us, thou art mine. It's clear then the Lord is addressing his own people, those who belong to him. The fact of the matter is that every Christian belongs to the Lord in a threefold sense. We are his, and Isaiah here hits the nail on the head when he talks about created and formed. So we are his by creation. Isaiah 43 and verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. So I am God's property because he has made me." And we can go right back to Genesis chapter 1, the verse 26 and 27, where we read, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. I find as well in, for example, John 1 and the verse 3, speaking of Christ, "All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And then in Colossians 1 and 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth." And if I am created by God, immediately that flags up responsibility on my report card. I have to report to him. I am responsible to him because I am his creature by design. So we are his by creation. But then also we are his by redemption. And you'll see in Isaiah 43 in the verse 1, that truth coming through as well. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." I am God's property because he has made me, because he has redeemed me. In other words, he has bought me back. He has paid a price for me and purchased me. Oftentimes in our services, we'll sing the hymn, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." We think of what Paul wrote and Peter as well. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, the verse 19 and 20, "Ye are bought with a price." And then Peter tells us, "Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And no doubt that was a thought that was coming, flooding into William Cushing's mind when he sat down and penned one of her favourite hymns, "Under his wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child." We are his by creation, by redemption. And then you'll see as well in Isaiah 43, verse 1 again, we are his by election. That final line, "I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Long before the Lord created this earth, the universe, everything within it, he purposed that we should be his. So I am his because he has made me, because he redeemed me, because he has chosen me. As our Savior says in John 15 and verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And then, rounding off the point that we're making here, look at two words that seal it all in. In the third verse of Isaiah 43, "For I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour." In other words, thou art mine, verse 1, I am thy God, I am thy Saviour, I am thine also. Don't we sing, "His forever, only his, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am his, and he is mine." The people addressed here, "Thou art mine." But then secondly, look in our passage at the pathway that is travelled. A pathway that is travelled. You'll never read in Scripture, and you'll never discover it in experience either if you're a child of God, that the Christian life is an easy life. It's not plain sailing. It's not a bed of roses. It's not a cozy existence. It is certainly not a pillow-padded pathway. There's no doubt about that. And these verses in Isaiah 43, they underline the fact that the pathway the Lord has mapped out for us sometimes takes us through the water. Other times, it's leading us right into the center of the fire. And so we read here,
when thou passest through the waters, verse 2 of Isaiah 43, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And here Isaiah the prophet, he underlines a number of features about the pathway we are on. The inevitability about it. Notice it's not if thou passest. This is a possibility, even ramp it up to the next level. It's a probability, it's a certainty. It's not a case of if thou passest, but when thou passest. It is inevitable. Didn't our Lord say, warning, before he left the scene of time, went to the cross, in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Again, Paul in Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. In 1 Peter 4, the verse 12 and 13, Peter talks about the fiery trial that is to try you. And he says, don't be reacting as if this is incongruous, this shouldn't be, as if some strange thing happened unto you, because this is the way that we travel. There's an inevitability about it. Not only that, the inspiration along it. As I travel this pathway mapped out in Isaiah 43, here's what keeps me moving forward. I know it's a divinely ordered and a divinely ordained pathway. The Lord, my sovereign King, he knows the end from the beginning. And speaking to us as people, as he looks into the future, he's saying, you're going to pass through the water on occasions. You'll be coming against the fire on other occasions. You'll be called upon to hit the extremes and go to the boundaries here. And maybe you're saying, well, that's where I feel I am at right this moment in time. That's where I am. Well, take comfort, because God knows everything about the pathway. Every ripple, every wave, every spark, every flame, every depth, every incremental boost in temperature, he knows it all, for he has planned it for us. That's what consoled Job in the very difficult path he traveled. In Job 23:10, he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In the Psalms, in Psalm 37, verse 23, we read, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. George Mueller, who founded those five imposing orphan houses in Ashley Down outside Bristol, knew what it was to rely upon the Lord, knew what it was to walk a difficult path as well, looking to the Lord to supply daily the needs of hundreds of boys, hundreds of girls. He used to say, when he looked at that Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Yes, he said, and not only the steps, sometimes also the stops of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And on those occasions when we feel we have just shuddered to a halt, and we're up against a brick wall, and we can't see a way forward, remember, not only our steps, but our stops are ordered by our Lord. The inevitability about it, the inspiration along it. We have a thought here coming through of the intensity that is in it as well. The road that we travel is rough, and it's testing. And these words that are employed are not randomly put in, but inspired by God's Holy Spirit. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So we have water, and we have rivers, and we have fire, and we have flames. It's very severe. But not only that, look at the individuality about it, because this is a pathway of varied testings. I cannot say to you, here's the draft, here's the template, here's the road that you are going to travel, because I'll be going finding a twist and a turn there. You might not find it for some distance down the road. Our paths will not be exactly the same. Those of a certain generation will understand when I use the term, my path is not a carbon copy of yours. Maybe clone would be a better term nowadays, or an exact replica. But one will go through the flood. Another can go through the fire, but not the flood. Some will go both fire and flood. That'll be the way you'll be called to traverse. I'm sure you can remember the words of that little song, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, some through great sorrow. But even there, God gives that song in the night season and all the day long. So we have here the people who were addressed, the pathway that is travelled, and if we put in a full stop there, it might be a rather depressing area in which to end, but the text goes on. There's a promise here that is guaranteed, a promise that is guaranteed. It comes in four parts. And the first slice of the promise is, God promises here the security of his property. Are you going through the waters? Are you going through the fires? Do you feel almost overwhelmed by it? Going to be scorched in the middle of it? God says, we have noted verse 1, thou art mine. Mine by creation, by redemption, by election. And he's saying here, do you think that I am going to lose that property that costs me so much and that is so precious to me? No chance of that happening. He promises the security of his property. He promises as well the adequacy of his protection. The adequacy of his protection. Look at Isaiah 43, the verse 2 again. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why will these things not happen to us? Because of the adequacy of his protection. The situation may be all red warning lights. The situation may have flames all around us, water level rising up to our chin. But God is saying, it'll not overflow you. You will not be burned. That's because he is looking after us in the most difficult of paths. Then he promises not only the security of his property, the adequacy of his protection, but the constancy of his presence. Look at those terms in Isaiah 43 and 2, near the beginning of the verse. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Five precious words in our English translation. I will be with thee. Now the world and people in it can cry out when something happens, where's God? We might be tempted in our lives when the difficulties come crushing in, where is God? The answer is always the same. God is always where he always is, and that is walking beside his people. He is with them. I will be with thee. Now we can't read this text without in our minds going right over to that record in the book of Daniel, the chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not a hair of their head when they pulled them out of the burning fiery furnace had been singed. The pathway God had appointed for them, there was a constancy of his presence there. Because what do we see? Look into that furnace again while those children are there. And we are told the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Jesus himself was with them in their time of need. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said, the refiner is never far from the mouth of the furnace when his gold is in the fire, and the Son of God is always walking in the flames when his holy children are thrown in them. He promises as well, the fourth part of the promise, the certainty of his purpose. The certainty of his purpose. God has a plan, a purpose, for everything that happens to his children. Romans 8 and 28 makes it very plain. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who were the called according to his purpose. And that purpose is being fulfilled and one day will be totally completed. Notice the word through. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. We don't pass into and then we're lost under flood and under flame, but we pass through. What a comfort that God is going to bring us right through to the other side. Traveling the pathway of trial and of testing, getting through God's hand with his blessing here, enriched by him, refined by him, sanctified through the whole process. You know, the steel that suffers the most is the best steel. It's been in the furnace. It's been on the anvil. It's been in the jaws of the vice. It's been under the blows of the hammer. It's been heated and hammered and filed until that steel doesn't really know itself, because it comes out a splendid knife. And so God promises that we can rely on his unbreakable, unshakable promise, because he's the one who's saying in verse 3, I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And because of him and because of his power and his purpose, then when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Praise God, we do have heavenly helps for our earthly hurts. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy great hand, pointing the way, holding us up, lifting and carrying us. The same prophet we know recorded that the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he delivered them, he bore them, and he carried them all the days of old. And so we praise thee that thou art going to get us through every trial, every difficulty along the way. The all-powerful God, our Savior, our Creator, our Redeemer, is forever with us, and our God will carry us through. We praise thee for this, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.